When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, she's the sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave, and they got a game coming up this coming Friday. Maddie Hudak. Maddie, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm trying to get away from practice as far as possible to make sure the yelling's not in the background.
That's okay. We got some yelling here too because we had Rouse. So we tag teaming on that. Maddie, it's such a quick turnaround, but also what's happened roster wise? Where, you know, Darian Minsu made the decision he was going to leave and go to Duke, and then your second string quarterback decides he's leaving. So you're down to Ty Thompson, who has announced that he will transfer, but not until after the game. I give Ty a lot of credit because now it's a showcase game for him. He can show that next school, hey, I can be a starting quarterback at this level. And so how you ended the season is not with the same personnel you got to play against Florida, but the big change certainly Ty Thompson being at quarterback instead of Darian Minsu.
Yeah, I mean, you, for all things considered, and looking back to the Military Bowl and the amount of opt-outs Tulane had on their starting lineup last year, it's a completely different scenario this season, but not for, you know, the most important role on the field at quarterback. And like you said, this is such a great opportunity for Ty Thompson, and he's just been such a great leader in that backup role all season long, being really just a great teammate and mentor to Darian Mensah, but also having, you know, enough time out there during games. Yes, it was during specialized packages, but he's had a little bit of game time and time on task this year. So yeah, this is a really good opportunity for him. I'm sure we'll see the offense, you know, mold a little bit to his mobility and those types of strengths. The thing is that Florida doesn't really have any game film on him either, but he'll have, you know, the starting set of wide receivers, the starting offensive line, which, you know, speaking with Coach Summerall, it basically having your starting guys on the trenches, that'll spill your ability to really even have a chance in these types of bowl matchups. So for Tulane to have that in front of Ty Thompson, to me, is equally as important.
You know, Maddie, I thought this is a great opportunity for Tulane. You know, if you're playing in a bowl, you want to be rewarded. Why in the hell want to go play in cold weather? Now, I'm not saying it can't be cold in Tampa if you got a cold front somewhere come through. But, I mean, the Gasparilla Bowl, December the 20th, and you're playing the Florida Gators, so you know you're going to have a good crowd there. But in Tampa, Florida, I thought that was ideal. You're playing on ESPN at 2:30. But having the bowl in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, and looking at, like, who's hot and who's not right now. But we've kind of, Tulane, we've kind of gone from the penthouse to the outhouse when you look that all of a sudden, oh, we might be in the postseason, maybe 12-team playoff, and what has occurred the last couple of games. And, you know, Tulane's looking to avoid, what, its first three-game skid. You were around then since lost eight in a row in 2021. So you got to stop the bleeding. Then you look on the flip side, Florida won its last three. He was in battle, to say the least, that being Billy Napier. And then all of a sudden, look, he beats LSU, who's ranked 22nd. Ole Miss was ranked 9th. And then the in-state rival, Florida State. So it's going to be a big challenge, I think, for Tulane, considering, and you look at, you talk about the quarterback situation, but how well Florida has played to close out the season.
Yeah, without question. You're getting a Florida team that, as you said, is kind of trending up at the right time. And then that victory over LSU was so important. And you look back to one of those really important things in that game. The interior for me of Florida's defensive line has really been making a difference. That's Tulane's former defensive line coach, actually, from last season, Gerald Chapman, who is their defensive line coach over there. Whether or not that allows some, familiarity, a competitive edge, I'm not sure what side that really goes to, but it's also a type of situation where, like you said, it would have been pretty miserable after looking back at what the Military Bowl conditions were last year, how freezing cold it was in West Point, to have to go play another game on top of that just a few weeks later back up north. It's just not really the reward that you're looking for the end of a year, and yeah, you kind of are wanting to stop that dam. So they have a really difficult team that they have to go up against, and Florida's not really having any opt-outs either, but I think that really kind of breeds a fire in these guys here at Tulane. So for them to have, again, all of their starters playing in this game in Florida, in a stadium that some of these guys are familiar with, it's the Buccaneers Stadium, the Glazers, who, you know, this is the Glazer club that I'm standing in right now. So there's a lot of familiarity, and I think that's what bowl games should be. They should be fun, have themes like the Gasparilla Bowl, like a pirate parade, and be in Florida, because that's kind of what you're looking for at this point in the year with everything going on and having to recruit, retain, and put together a product on the field all in 1 week's time. It's all hands on deck outside of the bowl game on top of that.
Maddie, we had Coach Summerall on. Mike, when was that? Monday night?
We're Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, we're at, talking with him. And, always like history, whether it's the Saints or Tulane. I'm looking at the last time Tulane and Florida played, 1983. Not so good for the Wave. It was like 63-21 to the Gators. And, you know, Florida leads the series 13-6-2. And they've won 11 in a row. But Coach Summerall, he got a kick out of this. Tulane has not been the last win against Florida. It was post right at the end of World War II, 1946, when they both in the SEC.
And so, we didn't cover those games either.
So I'm like, I have to get the part of my motivation speech. The last time we beat Florida, 1946. And you think, ironically, you know, like, remember Georgia Tech, Tulane used to be in the SEC. So I thought that was... Coach Summerall got a laugh out of that, considering that, hey, well, why not now? Why not turn that stop that losing streak?
Yeah, that's not the first stat that I've heard with Tulane that's had a reference to World War II. It just goes to speak to really how incredible this era is and the last time that Tulane has kind of had this level of success. It'll be a question of whether or not that kind of gets a little bit of fire in them. I think back to kind of the Cotton Bowl, and I remember Coach Fritz saying, he said something about it being revenge for the Rose Bowl, and none of them knew what he was talking about because that was a game that took place in like 1939. So when you're looking at games that took place, you know, over half a century ago, that's pretty significant. But I also just think, you know, even though they lost to Army, they were still battling till the end. They still scored a late touchdown, still tried to go for that onside kick. So this is a resilient team that just won't give up. And I have to say, this week of practice, it really hasn't felt like they lost a conference championship or their starting quarterback at all. And I don't think that's because they are underselling how important those games were. I really just think that they really are focused on this one game left. Having Coach Summerall be retained and having that familiarity at the top. I think that's really what matters most of all. Just when you look back to this bowl practice this time last year, everything was in complete disarray without having your head coach at the top. So being able to open this week of practice knowing that he was extended and he'll be sticking around, I think has really gotten these guys to really lock in and focus on this opponent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I brought this up to Coach Summerall that, you know, Tulane's success this year had a lot to do with being able to run the football, and that certainly centers around Mekhi Hughes and their ability to stop the run. I told Coach that, you know, last 2 games, you weren't able to stop the run, and you weren't able to run the football. You lost the battle in the trenches. And he was like, Mike, what we had to do is, because we fell behind, I guess maybe we went a little too quick to throw in the football. And maybe, he said, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We should have continued to try to run the ball more. I think for me, that's a key. Florida up until the end was not really good stopping the run. I would feed it to him and see, because you're not the same team that ended, you know, late November, early December. You're different today than you were back then. I would test them rushing the football, because you know that they're going to run the football on you. They're going to try to protect their freshman quarterback, even though I think he throws the ball well. It is really Billy's system, 3 running backs, kind of beat you up a little bit and hit the big play. Coach Summerall said, I agree. Totally. That's what we have to do if we have a chance here to beat the Gators.
Yeah, without question. I mean, again, to Ty Thompson, you just look at what his strengths are, and he brings that level of mobility to the playing field as well, but he just doesn't have as much time on task with the starting wide receivers like Darian Mensah had all year. And so for them to even have struggled with their starting quarterback in these last couple of games, where I completely agree, I felt at least against Memphis, the run was abandoned really fairly early. Darian Mensah attempted more passes than Seth Hennigan, which says a lot about really where that game kind of ended for them, although that one was a little bit more of, you look at those 2 timely or untimely fumbles, they might have been able to win the game if not for those turnovers. But against Army, the cold, I think, really got to them, and that, to me, doesn't show up as much in the running game. It shows when the ball is bouncing off receivers' hands, when Darian Mensah is dropping the snap into the ground. That is when you really have to kind of go to those grit-and-grind type situations, but it is a balance of trying to kind of get back against a team that is running up the score on the other side of the ball. It's a question of really just patience and allowing that run game to break through. But I think, too, just going down, you know, changing hands at quarterback, you have to go back to what allowed this team to win 8 straight games. And those included 100-yard rushing games on Mekhi Hughes. I think he had 4 or 5 in a row. He hit his career high at North Texas before halftime. That was when this offense for Tulane was really rolling. And so, to your point, even if it's not working at the beginning, really sticking through and kind of wearing down what's going to be a really big defensive line on Florida. They have well-sized cover corners. I mean, there's really not a weakness on this defense for Tulane to be able to exploit. And so when you don't kind of have those obvious vulnerabilities, the best thing to do is just wear down the whole unit by, as you said, continuing to run the ball.
Now, Maddie, a little off topic, but it's dealing with Tulane. I don't know, Tulane basketball right now is about like the Pelicans, huh? boy, they've struggled.
Oh, man. Coach Hunter's really had some tough times.
Yeah, so what's your take on that? I mean, or do you have an opinion?
I'm still so in the throes of football season that it's hard for me to really kind of assess the other sports. I know that they're, I believe, playing Florida State this weekend in the Orange Bowl Classic. I know that they did just have a victory and stop a 4-game losing streak, but this is kind of, you know, another year of basketball not really performing up to expectations. So this is kind of a critical stretch for that team. But, yeah, you know, just kind of most of my attention's here over with the Tulane, who happen to have, you know, when you look at the Pelicans, too, the amount of hamstring injuries they have, it's really hard to discuss anything really of value with that team. And this is a very healthy Tulane football team, just to say that. So I'm not really sure what's going on with basketball, but plenty of time for that once this week of bowl practice wraps up.
Maddie, got a quick one for you with the basically high school season, and they may sign a few in February. What do you think the positions are that John Sumrall will concentrate on through the transfer portal? I would think offensive line has to be in that mix. Certainly you got to get a quarterback, but other than the quarterback slot and also up front along the offensive line, what are the areas you think that they're going to try to add through the transfer portal?
It's a good question. Yeah, the offensive line, obviously, it's just so hard to really, you know, we've seen really good development of these guys out there, but you really just want that experience. You see what bringing in Derek Graham and Vincent Murphy really did to allow them to just kind of seal this line. They already signed, I believe his name is John Bach, if that's correctly, John Bach II, who is an interior offensive lineman from Florida International. And then you have your starting left guard and starting left tackle coming back. To me, they're probably going to look similarly to last year in the portal. They wanted experience at cornerback, and so they went and got 2 grad transfers. And Micah Robinson and Jonathan Edwards. You do have Rayshon Pleasant coming back, but you're going to need to replace those guys, so that's super important. Just kind of looking at some of these positions, I'm sure they'll go for a wide receiver or 2 in the transfer portal just because you're going to be losing all those seniors, Mario, Yul Keith, Dante Fleming. It's a position group that's going to take a hit for sure, so I know that they were able to really pick that up in the portal. It's also kind of hard to recruit without a quarterback necessarily, but they were able to do that all last year while not being entirely sure who the starter was going to be and really not having any idea of what a John Sumrall Tulane team was going to look like. But I think that he, you know, has really been able to settle in to his recruiting. And so you're just kind of looking to see what positions I think they need to reload at, depending on, you know, how a few of these guys decide to kind of return, come back. It would be, to me, not the worst thing to kind of look in the portal too for just a tight end, perhaps, that could be kind of ready to go, because we saw some injuries to that position group this year, and the offense really struggled as a result of it. So those kind of positions, to me, are what I would see them looking at first.
Maddie, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. You always do great work, and we appreciate your time here on WWL.
Great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All righty. Maddie Hudak, and Maddie does a great job. Sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave. Also has a podcast that she does weekly.